Good evening, everybody. Get on up and assume the position to praise the Lord. Get your hands in the air. Amen. You know how we do it on this first song? You get up out of your seats and go greet the brethren. Go greet the family of God. Encourage somebody. Everybody needs encouragement. So that means like y'all can get up like right now and like move out of your chairs, Jenny, right?
Thank you. Kingdom. comes rising or fall. No one can stand against him. He is the Lord of all. His reign is everlasting. While kingdoms rising and fall, no one can stand against him. He is the Lord of all.
Let the wind the Lord hath done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what
acts of faith that we can give to the Lord from ourselves is thankfulness. Amen. The Bible tells us very, very clearly, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. No matter what you got going on in your life, you got a reason to be thankful. No matter how bad it looks, no matter what is going on. And sometimes we just, you know, our attitude is developed on what we look at the world, and we compare ourselves to what other people do have or what other people got going on in their life, and we compare their life to our life, or we get such a false sense of security because we see something out there and it seems like somebody else's life is absolutely perfect, and we think if our life could be like their life, we'd just be as perfect. You know, what you see on social media and stuff out there, you know that ain't real, right? You know that's not real, right? I mean, even most of the pictures that you see ain't real. Those are faked up and glamored up and all of that stuff, you know. So, Father, we just give you thanks, Lord, and we give you praise, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for who you are, Lord. And if we have nothing else on this earth to be thankful, Lord, we're thankful for who you are, Father, for who you are. You are the creator of the universe, the master of the heavens, Father. And we thank you, Lord. Lord, and we welcome you to be the master of our hearts and the master of our lives, Father. And we give you thanks, Lord. We praise you and we magnify you, Father God. And Lord God, it sounds like my voice is changing right in the middle of this, Lord. So, Lord God, I don't know, help out the audio or whatever it is, Father, but we give you praise in Jesus' name, Lord. And, Lord, I just thank you for the Son, the blood that was poured out at the cross of Calvary in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Father God, we thank you for that blood, Father. We give you praise for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you gave your life. No man took it. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for these people. Lord, that you bless them. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. I want to read a couple things to you real quick. Let me see here as we get ready to let the kiddos and everybody. But got a deal the other day. Let's see. Well, I can't find it now. Hey, who'd have thunk this? I tell you what, you want to talk about miracles? Let me find it here. I'm sorry, guys. But who would have thunk that Starbucks would have been the one to take a stand against the vaccine? Amen? Carhartt selling out, and Starbucks is standing up. Come back, Jesus. Amen? Let's see. I was looking, and I thought I had it right here, and I lost it, guys. I apologize. But anyway, what it was about, and I shared it the other day. I shared it on our U-Turn Facebook page. Oh, here it is. Y'all remember a few weeks ago when I was talking about, on Sunday, I was talking about that people were going to be getting married in other countries, and there'd be no need to go to the store, all of that stuff with this Meta, all right? And I got this right here. It says, new virtual vest will enable users to have sex in a virtual world. So what I was talking about a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, I was talking about people wouldn't even have to go to Walmart anymore. They'd just put on their mask, and it'd be like they were walking around Walmart and pick out what they want, and it'd be sent to your house. After I said that, there's a video out about that one. And then after I talked about the sex, there's a video out about that one. So this new Meta, what it's all about is we're going to see these things come to pass. So parents, I'm asking you, I'm talking to you seriously about this. Our kids are already in a place in their life to where they can barely make it without their phones and their cell phones. And this is going to open up a whole nother world. So you're going to have to be strong in this, amen? You're going to have to be strong in this. So that's all I got to say about that right now. Kiddos, come on down. Come on down. Everybody that's here tonight, welcome out to church tonight. Amen. Oops, throw my phone at you. You got them glasses, girl? Can you see me? Can you see Papa up here? Can you see me up here? Where? You turn around and show Mimi. Look at Mimi. She couldn't see you. You going to pray? All right, stand up straight. Get your shoulder square. Get your chin up. Don't be needling on nothing. There you go. Give
Father God, thank you this day. Yeah, we have a great day today. Let's see you guys good. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Y'all go. Children, follow back. Brother Sean got the youth. You follow Brother Sean. And the rest of you stuck inside here with me. Amen. Open up your Bibles to the 81st Psalm, those of y'all that are in here with me. Psalm number 81. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, we was talking about out of Corinthians 10. We've been talking about the last couple of weeks. What was the five reasons that the children of Israel did not enter into the promised land? Five reasons the children of Israel didn't enter into the promised land. Paul gives it to us very, very clearly. One was lust. All right. Second was fornication. Third one was idolatry. Fourth one was what? Tempting Christ. Fifth one was what? Murmuring, complaining, bellyaching. So we got lust, idolatry, sexual immorality, tempting Christ, murmuring, bellyaching, whining. Listen, can you murmur and be thankful? No. If you're murmuring, you're not thankful.
You got that? So those two don't coincide. They can't live together. The Bible says that bitter water and sweet water can't come out of the same faucet. The Bible says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Oil and water don't mix. The blood of animals and the blood of Jesus don't mix. Amen? So if you're murmuring and complaining about how bad your life stinks, okay, then you can't be thankful. The children of Israel, that's the reason they got left in the wilderness. Why? Because they were not thankful to God for him bringing them out of Egypt. They were just belly aching and whining about what they didn't have that was still in Egypt. All right? So today, we're going to talk about one of these. We're going to talk about lust. And lust is not just a sexual lust. When you hear the word lust, many people think it's a sexual lust. But has anybody got an idea of what lust means? What does lust mean? Desire of your own heart at the expense of somebody else. Using somebody else, fulfilling your desire at the expense of somebody else. Okay? So what does that mean? That can be a sexual lust. That can be a man using his desire to fulfill his own needs at the expense of the woman without putting what's best. Because love always puts what? Others first, right? Love always puts others first. So true love, if you're trying to bring somebody into sin, it's not going to bring that person into sin with you, because true love is going to do what's best for them. Love, do unto others you'd have done unto yourself, right? So we have got to learn these things. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about lust tonight, all right? And let's go to Psalms chapter 81, 81st Psalm, and I'm going to start reading out of verse 8. Now I want you to understand something, what happens to people when they're given to lust, okay? When people are given to lust, all right, when they're given over to lust, those are desires in you that do not line up with the will of God. And I'm going to tell you here today, you have got to learn to fight against them. You got to war against them, all right? Just because you're born again and saved doesn't mean you're not going to ever have lust again. And just because you're born again and saved doesn't mean that God is just going to automatically remove every lust, every desire that you've ever had. That is not true. Because if that was true, we would not need the helper, would we? And Jesus said what? That he would not leave us as orphans, but what would he do? He would give us the helper. All right? The reason we got the helper is because the Holy Spirit, who is the helper, helps us through things. All right? It doesn't mean that he makes it easy. The reason I need somebody to help me at times is because my leg hurts, because my hip hurts. I need somebody to help me up, whatever it is. The reason I need somebody to help me at times is because sometimes I don't have enough strength to operate as I would on my own normal functioning. So I got to have somebody to help me, all right? And sometimes you and I, we've got to understand if there's things that come against us, there's desires that come against us, wants that come against us, amen? And you may have that desire, and you may want to give in, but God has given us the Holy Spirit in order to help us fight and help us war against that. And he's also given us fellow brothers and fellow sisters to war against it. You know, I was talking to some men in the men's home the other day, and I said, you know, and I battle these backwards and forth. But I said, you know, used to when I was living in the world, if somebody got in a fight, if there was a fight going on, you would want me on your side. It was just that simple. You would have wanted me on your side. And I'll guarantee you right now, if you're battling or you're struggling, you're in this men's home, and I know about it, you're going to want me on your side. All right? You're going to want me on your side. And I think some of the men in the men's home are figuring this out, that it's not going to be one of those kind of deals where I'm just going to sit there and pat you on the back and tell you it's going to be okay. I'm going to grab you by your ears. I'm going to shake your head. And I say, it's time to fight. It's time to war. It's time to get after it. We ain't going to lay here. We ain't going to bellyache. We ain't going to whine. We ain't going to plunge. We're going to hunker down. We're going to get in a foxhole, and we're going to believe God, and we're going to fight through this thing. Amen? All right, now let's look here. What is lust? Let's look at Psalms 81, chapter 8, or verse 8, I'm sorry, 81st Psalm, verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, listen to this word. O Israel, if you will listen to me. So that tells me right there that there is, if you will listen to me, that means if you will listen to me, this is about to happen, and if you don't listen to me, this is about to happen. All right. If you will listen to me. All right. Many people, we want to be Israel. We want to be the church, but we don't want to listen to God. All right. So it says, O Israel, what? It says, hear, O my people. So what is God saying? My people, listen to what I'm saying. Hear me. Hear me. I admonish you. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what this word right here is saying. Listen to what is being spoken through the 81st Psalm. Okay. He says, O Israel, if you will listen to me. If you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign God among you. If you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you. If you will listen to me, if you will stay away from the Moabite women, if you will stay away from the Canaanite women, if you will stay away from these things that I tell you to stay away from, the reason that there will not be a foreign god amongst you is because you will not be drawn in by your lust. Because what ends up happening is when we allow ourselves to be around the things that God tells us not to be around, then it stirs up the lust in our own heart. All right? Where does lust come from? Where does war come from? Where do these things come from? The longer you stare at a woman, the more you're going to lust after. The longer you stare at things that you shouldn't be doing, any that you shouldn't be, the more that desire in your heart is going to come up to the surface. So God is saying, if you will listen to me, if you will stay away, you will not bow down to these foreign gods. If you will quit looking, if you will quit hanging out, if you will quit quitting, if you will quit giving up, if you will quit, you will not. All right, you with me? And he says, there shall be no foreign god among you. Let me get a drink of water here. Nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. See, God always goes back and he remembers where he's brought them out of. He reminds people where he's brought them out of. And you and I, whenever you and I are going through a struggle, whenever you and I are going through a battle, you and I have got to learn to look back at some past victory that God has given us. Amen. You've got to look back on what God has done for you before. All right, now listen, watch this. He says, who brought you out of the land of Egypt? Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Now listen. But my people would not heed my voice. My people would not listen. They would not listen. They would not listen to what God said. They would not be obedient to what God said. They would not take the advice that was given to them by fellow men of God. They would not listen to what was being said. They would not listen of saying, hey, don't be over here flirting with these women. Don't be over here flirting with these guys. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen about do not be deceived, for corrupt company ruins good habits. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen about, hey, you're in a war and you're going to have to actually fight against these desires that are on the inside of you. And you got to fight against them, not just give in to them. They wouldn't listen. Just because you have a desire, that doesn't mean that it's God moving upon you to fulfill it. Amen? Now watch. And it says, but my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. Israel wouldn't listen. They wouldn't heed his voice. They would have none of it. See, to disobey God is to reject God. I don't care how much you confess with your mouth you know God. To disobey God is to reject God. Because Jesus said it this way. He said that you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And we know that God doesn't look at the lips of man. God doesn't look at man the way that man looks at man. God looks upon the heart of man. And Paul said it this way. He said, you honor me, you say all the right things with your mouth, but in your actions you deny me. Okay? So many of us, we wonder why we continue having these desires, why we continue having these lusts, why we continue, because we gear our life around the things that's going to flirt with the desire that's on the inside of us. Amen? We like to hang around people. We like to hang around women that are going to flirt with me and give me an opportunity to think that there may be a chance. I like to hang around men that look at me and going to flirt. Not me. All right, y'all take it the wrong way, all right? Like to hang around things that feed into that little bit of a desire. You know what I'm saying? Like to be around things that kind of feed that desire on the inside of you. Like to be around those things that give you that little bit of extra attention because you've not yet learned your value in God, so you got to get it from somebody. Right? Got to put them extra stuff on Facebook so I can get them extra likes. Got to take my picture and glam it up a little bit and lie to everybody about what I really look like so I can give everybody a false evidence of something that appears real. You know why? Because it's all about them likes. It's all about what somebody's going to do for me because I'm lusting for that attention. I'm lusting for that pat on the back. I'm lusting for somebody to give me value. All right? So when we look at this, it says, but my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. Now listen to this. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Can I ask you something? So let me read to you. God will allow us. This is a note I wrote down when I was reading this today and meditating. God will allow us to rebel against him in order to teach us the consequences of sin and uses us to turn this away from future sin. So many, many times God will allow you and I to rebel because God does not make you and I not rebel. Does he not? That way, I mean, has any of us ever rebelled against God? Did he make us not rebel? No. Many times God will not make you not rebel. Matter of fact, God will many times let you rebel. But in the midst of that rebellion, that's the very thing that'll end up using to turn you away, to teach you a lesson out of it in order to turn you away from sin in the future that could do something even worse than what this just did. Does that make sense to you? Amen? So I made this note. God's worst judgment. You know what God's worst judgment upon man is? Turning man over to his own desires. That is God's worst judgment upon man. Is to turn a man over to his own desires without no restraint whatsoever. That's the whole point behind Romans chapter 1, is it not? Romans chapter 1 says they did not glorify him. They were not thankful to him. They became futile in their thoughts. Their hearts became darkened. So what was the result of it? They traded the truth for a lie. Amen. So God gave them over to their own desires in order that what? Women burn for women and men burn for men. So one of the worst judgments that a man, a woman, or a society can be under is when they continue rebelling against God, rebelling against God, rebelling against God, and God pulls his hands back and turns you over to your own desires. Because my desires and your desires are against God's desires. But with God in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory, then if I've got the new nature of God, the divine nature, then his desires become my desires. But that's why you and I, we've got to war against these desires. We've got to war against these wants. We've got to war against these things. Why? Because I know in the midst of the war, that's when I'm getting stronger. It's just like I tell people all the time. I say it to people, the guys that go work out with me in the morning at the gym, I push. I tell them, don't quit. Don't give in. Yeah, but Kevin, I'm tired. Suck it up. Quit leaning on the machine because there's going to get a day when you're not always going to have something else to lean on. Suck it up, Kevin. I'm about to throw up. You're going to be okay. Push on through. But Kevin, it's heavy. Well, push it or you're fitting to drop it on your neck and it's going to be even heavier. You don't quit. You don't give up. I don't care how heavy the weight is. Get under it and push the weight. Push it. Push the weight. And that's the way life is, church, that there's going to be things that come against you and they're heavy and it's going to be hard and you're going to want to quit and you're going to want to give in. But there's times you are just going to have to stay there and resist until the devil flees. You got to resist lust. You got to resist drinking. You got to resist murmuring. You got to resist complaining. You have got to make a decision, no matter how heavy, no matter how hard, no matter how, I will not give in. And then you got somebody like me that's sitting right over the bar looking right down at you. You're about to choke yourself. You drop it on your neck, it's going to break. Your fist is going to crush your chest in. Push the weight. And then guess what? You know what I see happen all the time? I see them down there. They get about this spot right here, and they're going, I can't do it. Get the weight. No. Push it. Push the weight. Get the weight. You're fitting to hurt yourself. Get the weight up. And all of a sudden, you know what happens? They push it up. Because we always quit short of our own abilities. I was watching a deal the other day, and I was showing it to Tony. Y'all know what a praying mantis is? One of them bugs. A big old gecko, one of them big lizards. Right? I mean, not a big lizard, but compared to a praying mantis, this thing's huge. And this praying mantis, or this lizard, goes over to walk, comes to this praying mantis, there at a standoff, Clayton. And all of a sudden, the gecko throws his tongue out there or whatever, misses the praying mantis, and this praying mantis reaches over and grabs him with his claws. reached over and grabbed him. And you know what that gecko did? I mean, and he was, one of his claws was in his mouth. He had it like wrapped around his head. And that praying man, that gecko, you know how their feet are kind of shaped like this? All of a sudden he just does this. And he gets stuck with his mouth open, and the praying mantis claw is through his mouth. All he had to do was shut his mouth. But he just froze. And the praying mantis ate his lips off. And then he moved around and started eating his eyeball. The praying mantis killed this big old gecko lizard. And I'm sitting there watching this thing. And I'm going, that's the body of Christ. That lizard had the ability to squash this bug, eat this bug, throw this bug, but he didn't know the power that he had. And there's too many of us today, we're being drugged around by desires, being drugged around by the enemy, and don't know the power that we have on the inside. And we just freeze in the middle of a situation. I give up. Oh, it's heavy. You better push. And then if I see the bars start going backwards, okay, I'll help you then. But just because you're struggling a little bit, I'm not going to come in right there and bail you out. You need to learn to push. You need to learn to fight. You need to learn to war. And we go in there, we bail people out so quick and want to buy them a cup of coffee and a donut hole, and they never learn to they don't get no stronger. I was there working out with Rich the other day. Rich goes, man, Kevin, I'm getting stronger since I've been working out with you. I said, I'm gonna make your butt work. You gonna work, are you not? You're going to work, because if we can learn, and I said, it's not about the working out. It's not about the weights, church. It's about taking the time that I have to spend with these guys and taking that which is the natural and tying it over into the spiritual. That's what it's about. That's why you guys got to get up and get your, see, I call that real fellowship. Real fellowship doesn't happen when we're sitting in there around my desk. Real fellowship. Real fellowship happens when you're after chunking a pickaxe through the rocks in the dirt, doesn't it, Mark? Isn't that right, John? That's when real fellowship happens. Real fellowship happens when you show up at the gym at 5:30 in the morning waiting on me to get there because you snuck out and left and took somebody with you and knew you screwed up. And you're back at the gym 5:30, slept there almost waiting, saying, Pastor Kevin, I'm sorry, man. Will you let me back in? I need another chance. Real fellowship happens when this happens. When I say, look at you, and I say, I'll stand with you and I'll fight. I'll stand shoulder to shoulder. I don't care. Everybody who comes against you, I'm going to stand with you and I'm going to fight. But don't you lie to me. Don't you lie, because if I'm going to fight with you, don't let me find out that you've been lying to me. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart. Why does desire and lust continue growing in us? Because the more we give into it, the more we desire it. But yet the more we know that we shouldn't be there either. So that desire, listen, the pressure's going to come. The weight is going to come. The temptations are going to come. The desire is going to come. But just because it comes, that does not mean you give up. Just because the world is coming down on your shoulders, you don't give in. Just because of the weight of the world, just because you feel depressed, you don't lay there in bed all day. How do you overcome depression? How do you beat depression? If I'm just laying there wallowing in my depression, I'm letting it win, but I refuse to let it win. I'm going to rise up out of this mud, this muck and mire. That's how we war. We do what we don't feel like doing. I don't feel like praying, so I better pray. I don't feel like studying my word, so I better get into the word. Listen, when we give in, when we quit, that's when we're letting that lust and that desire win. I refuse. When I'm in the gym working out, I know if I don't get that weight up, it's going to hurt me. And I know if I don't change my way of thinking, it's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt me. So what do? I got to push. I got to reach. I got to find something a little extra. I got to find it. I got to find it. I got to find it. I have got to find it. Where do I get it at? I don't know. But when you know that bar is finna drop on your neck, you'll find it somewhere. You will find it. We've all got more than what we're willing to give because we're so used to quitting when it gets hard. And he says, but my people, so I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels, to walk in their own ways, to walk in their own desires, to walk in their own wants. God said they wouldn't listen to me. They wouldn't fight. They wouldn't war. They wouldn't go away. They wouldn't stay away from what I told them to stay away from. They kept going in and flirting with it and flirting with it and flirting with it till the desire became greater and greater. And finally, I just gave them over to it. You are to thank God that there's something in you that's still wanting to fight against the things that want to destroy you. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies. He said, if you just listen, if you just quit quitting, if you just quit giving in, if you just quit giving up, God says, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. If you would have just stayed away from the gods or the other tribes, if you would have just listened to me, listen, what you thought I wasn't doing, but actually walking you through this stuff, I was building you and strengthening you to get you to where I wanted to take you. He said, if you would have just listened to me, put the next one up there, verse 14. He says, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. Let me read it to you right here. He says in verse 13, because all of 13 wasn't up there, it says, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Oh, I'm sorry. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. God is saying, listen, if you will just listen to me, if you will not give in, if you will quit quitting, I'm going to turn the tide on this. I'm going to turn it the other way. I don't know why God doesn't do it right now at the moment. Because if he did everything right now at the moment, I have never went to the gym and worked out one time and got stronger. I get stronger by continuing and continuing and continuing and continuing and continuing. And every time I go up in weight, my shoulders may hurt a little bit. My elbows may hurt a little bit. My knees may hurt a little bit. But you know what? That's the price I'm willing to pay to get to the next level. That's the price I'm willing to pay to get to the next level. And some of the things that you and I go through, it may be hard. It may be tough. It may not be easy. But that's the price I'm willing to pay to go to where God is wanting to take me. The price is going to be hard. But I know, no matter how hard it is, that breakthrough's on the way, baby. And I know when I get through this, that I'm going to be stronger on this side looking back at it than when I was on this side looking at it. I know it. He says, if you'll just follow, if you'll quit quitting, if you'll quit giving in, I'm going to take this from you. I'm going to subdue it. I'm going to subdue it. Your job is not to quit. Your job is not to quit. Your job is not to give in. Your job is to trust God. And how you trust God? By doing, just keep following him. That's it. All right, let's go over to Psalm 78. Y'all with me? Psalm 78. Let's start out in verse 29. What? Given to lust. This is what it means to be given to lust. Listen to this. I'm going to back up to about verse. Let me start reading to verse 26. He called. Now God's reminding him what he did when he brought him out of Egypt. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the seas. And he let them fall in the midst of their camp all around their dwellings, so they ate and were well filled. For he gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their craving. God said, all right, you want it? You want the quail? I'm going to give it to you. You want it? I'm going to give it to you. You want it? And I believe many of us are getting, I believe many of us are the reason that we stay so depressed, because we always talk about how depressed we are. And God's like, I did what you want. Why ain't anything changing in my life, okay? You talking about that all the time? Here you go. Why ain't anything changing? Because you ain't obeyed God yet about not murmuring. You ain't obeyed God yet about being thankful. Does that make sense? Why is anything not changing in my life? Because you're not changing. You're not changing the way you talk. You're not changing the way you think. You're not changing. You're not changing. You're continuing to give in instead of fighting. You're giving up instead of standing up. You think the answer in front of you today is the answer for the rest of your life. You think the problem that's in front of you today is going to dictate the rest of your life. When the problem that is in front of you today is nothing more than an obstacle that you're going to look back to God use to strengthen you. And one of these days, that obstacle that you just blew by, you're going to look back one day and you're going to be like King David when the next giant is in front of you. And he said, did I not kill the bear? And did I not kill the lion when he would come in? What's this uncircumcised Philistine going to do to me? For he gave them, verse 26, it says that for they ate and they were filled. For he gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their cravings. They wanted it. All right, get it. Go after it. But while their food was still in their mouth, the wrath of God come against them and slew the stoutest of them and struck down the choice men of Israel. Why? Because they were not thankful. They were not thankful for what God had given them. They were not thankful for the manna that had come down out of the sky. They were not thankful for the water that had come from the rock. And instead of being thankful for what God had given them, they were bellyaching, whining, and complaining about what they didn't have. So God said, you want it? And many times God's going to let us have the things that he really don't want us to have in order to teach us a lesson. The best way to learn a lesson right here is because they wasn't thankful for the manna. They wasn't thankful for the water. They wasn't thankful for the things that God had provided for them. They were whining and bellyaching about what they didn't have. So God gives it to them, makes them become sick off of it. And what is the purpose of that? So hopefully they'll come back and say, you know what? That manna and water wasn't too bad after all. Lord, I thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. See, look, there's been some people in this church, we've been through some stuff. We've been through some things. People in this church have been locked up in prison. People in this church have been on drugs. People in this church, there's things that have happened to people. But instead of you complaining about where you're at right now, you ought to be rejoicing to the Lord, because everything that the enemy used to try to kill you, you're still here today. You're born again and saved. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. And when Satan gave it his best, he still failed. Why can't you find some joy in that? Why can't you find some happiness in that? There's consequences to the way some of us have lived. I know there is on my life. But I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that. Because I may be paying some consequences today to where if God wouldn't have got a hold of me, I'd have been paying the full price 10 years ago. I wrote this down. Israel would not obey God, and everybody 20 and above had to be destroyed. The greatest of God's judgment is to let people have their own way. Wow. Wow. I don't like the manna. I don't like the water. Okay. I want some quail. All right, here you go. Verse 32, in spite of all this, they still sinned and did not believe in it. What? He gave them what they wanted. Instead of that, instead of seeing the people get sick and all that, instead of running back to God, desire still controlled them. Want still controlled them. I mean, I sit here, I talk to men, I talk to women absolutely every single day. All right, you say you're a person of God. Yep. You say you love God. Yep. You say you love the Lord. Yep. Then why do you keep on trying to get with somebody in the Word of God that does not line up with the Word of God? Lust. Lust. Well, yeah, I know, but brother, but you don't even know them. You don't even know them. Well, I want to be with a woman. I want to be with a man. Huh? That's your desire. What's God want? That's you want. Have you asked God what he wants? And the proof in the pudding ought to be, just look at the last several relationships you've picked out, how they worked out. That ought to prove to you, you need to let somebody else start picking your boyfriends and girlfriends. If you're sitting here single today, it's because you're not a very good picker. Amen. You know I'm right. Nevertheless, verse 36, nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. When we follow God with our words and not our heart, repentance is empty. That's what many of us do. Repentance is empty. We follow God with our words instead of our heart, and our repentance means nothing. Why? Because there's none there. Y'all with me? Let's go to Mark 4 real quick. Talking to y'all about what? Talking to you about lust, giving into lust. So what do we see in those two examples right there? God gave them over, didn't he? Amen. Now this is Mark chapter 4. Let's go to verse 18. Mark chapter 4, verse 18. I'm not going to read the whole parable. Go back and read it. But don't be preoccupied with self-wants. Don't be preoccupied with what you want. What does God want? What does God want? So we look at this in verse 18. It says, now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. They are the ones who hear the word. Hear the word. They hear it. They agree with it. They say they believe it. They hear it. All right? It's been told to them. These are the ones who hear the world, but the cares of the world, the lust of the world, the desire of what the world has to offer. And listen to me, church. What the world has to offer is not always appear to be bad. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things, entering in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Why does the word become unfruitful in my life? Why am I not experiencing any freedom? Because my focus is on what I want instead of on God's word. And when my focus is on my desires instead of God's desires, when my focus is on my desires instead of God's desires, then the world starts creeping in, and then I start finding out that my desires, I feel my desires pulling on me more than God's desires. And then all of a sudden I start finding ways, John, to compromise. I start finding ways to sneak around. I start compromising. Why? Because I got a lust for more money, so I compromise business deals. I got a lust to be around a certain person, so I compromise my character so they'll like me. I've got lust to fit in, so I compromise some of the things that are talked about around me. Why? Because I got more of a desire to fit in with this group than I do with the family of God. So I start compromising, and I wonder why the word of God becomes unfruitful. Why it's not changing me. Why? Simply because God says, you be obedient, you follow me, I'm going to turn my hand on your adversaries. I'm going to turn my hand on your adversaries. So why does the word become unfruitful? Because the desires of the world come in and starts choking. You know what the deal about when you choke somebody? Choking somebody is not a real quick death. I mean, it can be pretty quick, but it's not instant. It's slow. That's what the desires of the world do to you. You start looking at something you shouldn't be looking at, and you look at it a little bit longer, all of a sudden there's little things creeping into your heart and you start wondering, why am I thinking about this all of a sudden all the time? You start hanging around people that you shouldn't be hanging around with, and they're doing stuff that you used to do. And then all of a sudden you start thinking, why am I having a desire to do this all of a sudden? Lord, I thought you delivered me from that. He said, I did, but you're choosing to go back into the pig pen. You're choosing to go back to the pig pen. You're choosing to let your eyes stay on it. You're choosing to meditate on it. You're choosing to go hang out with it. You're choosing to fellowship with it. You're choosing to murmur. You're choosing to go over there to them women over there that I told you to stay away from and that you would not start worshiping their God. You're choosing that. My deliverance lies within your obedience to what I tell you to do. And if you stay over here and don't go over there, then you're not going to have to be delivered from over there. Best way to stay out of jail is just not by going. Best way to stay off drugs is not by doing them. Makes sense? Best way to not have the evil desires and evil lust that you're having a war against is stay away from it. Well, I can handle it. Paul said it like this. I put no confidence in the flesh. Zero. All right. Let's go over to 1 Timothy 6:9 real quick. I'm going to read this to you. 1 Timothy 6. Y'all with me? Now, godliness that we're still talking about, you know, preoccupied or occupied by your own desires, your own lust, given to lust. Now, godliness with contentment. Now, check that out. I looked up that word contentment today. A place, you know what that word means? Contentment. Anybody got an idea? I've already told you, don't tell me. Anybody got an idea what that word means? Contentment. Huh? Okay. And that's what most people say. Be happy where you are. I mean, I'm not, I'll admit, I'm not always content. I'm happy with the Lord. I'm happy with where the Lord has me. But there's more things in this life I want to accomplish. Is that evil? See, that's where the church screws up. That's where the church screws up. You know what that word content means? Be content where you're at. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, Kevin, is it wrong to work and make a bunch of money? I said, no, that's not wrong. Here's what's wrong. I said, when you work and you start compromising your character to make the money. Listen. If I'm going to go work for $8 an hour and do the best that I can for $8 an hour and not compromise my character, don't you think I'd work just as hard for $100,000 an hour? And the money itself is not the vehicle of evil. Money is void. It's neither good nor evil. What the money does it shows to you the intent of your heart. And then what you use it for. All right, so let's look at this. So contentment, money will reveal your heart. It will. And if you're somebody that thinks that because money is evil, then you're concerned about your own heart. Money is neutral. Money is neither good nor evil. But how you use it is. And we think in the church that money is evil. Money's the root of all evil. No, the Bible says a love of money. So what happens if you love money so much that it causes you to compromise this word to get it, that's the issue. Does that make sense to you? Everybody wants to be a millionaire, just nobody wants to work for it. Because then all of a sudden, if you work for it, all of a sudden, and you know what? It's like I've had people tell me before, my business is just taking off, man. I'm blessed. Well, you like it, well, you don't. I'm blessed. All right? And I was talking to my daughter today, and I used to have to go out, and, man, I was running all over the states, man. I was driving, working my tail off. Gone 3 or 4 days a week. And I was doing, now I work less time and have more income. That's it. And so I look at that. You know what that allows me to do? It allows me to be in Bible study every morning from 8:30 to 10 a.m. I'm in the Word every morning. We in the Word every morning, John? First 4 hours of our day is what? We get up in the morning. The men's in the men's home from 5 to 6 a.m. They're doing their yearly Bible reading. All right? Then we meet at the gym at 6 a.m. We're working out from about 6 a.m. to about 7:45. Up there talking about the Word, talking about Jesus, tying it into life. Then we come back down here. We get in the kitchen. We make all of ourselves something to eat, and then usually have a powwow in the kitchen. Then we meet over there in that room, and we do Bible study from about 8:30 to about 10 o'clock every morning. And then out of that, I work less hours, and I still have time to do that, still have time to get home in the evening. I got more time now. I believe God has blessed me with the ability to do that. Why? Because no matter what is going on, that has not caused me to compromise my character. It's not, matter of fact, it's given me more time to push Him to the front and spend more time with Him. And I believe He's just going, breathing on it. Yeah. So I look at that. So when we look at that, it says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Now you know what contentment is? A place, and now check this out. I looked it up today. A place in life where no aid or support is needed. That's what it says in the Thayer's, which is in the Strong's. A place in life where no aid or support is needed. I was talking to my daughter today, doing some of my motivational speeches that I do so much throughout the day. And I'd ask her, you know, whatever, or whoever it is. And I said, what does it mean to be content? If I was to walk up to you, what does it mean to be content? You told me being happy where you're at. Well, if you're happy where you're at, why do you want a job? If you're happy where you're at, Clayton, why do you want a job making more money? If you're happy where you're at, why do you want a bigger house? If you're happy where you're at, why do you want a bigger vehicle? If you're happy where you're at and you're content where you're at, why do you want all this stuff? Usually the only place that we're happy where we're at is with the Lord, because we don't pray more nor do we study more. You with me on it? You caught that, didn't you? See, where true happiness is, many times we don't see no need to do more. So I'll settle right here. Why do I not read? Why do I not? Oh, I just ain't got time. Just ain't got this. Just ain't got that. But really, you're just all right where you're at. You don't really want more of a relationship with God. You see that? But I ask people that. I think about it. I say, what if you're content, why do you want a boyfriend? If you're content, why do you want a girlfriend? Why do you want a relationship? Come on, look at Paul. Paul didn't want none of that. Y'all thinking, ain't you? I mean, I'll be see y'all here looking at the Bible right now going, well, you mean I ain't content? Well, if you want more, does that mean you're content? If you're married to a woman and you're looking and wishing you could have another woman, are you content with your wife? Vice versa? So when we look at this, here's what we got to realize. Look at this. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Listen, be content. Listen, here's what I tell people. Be content with what God is doing. Be content. Listen, let me ask you this, and don't take this the wrong way. But if God was content with you, would you still be under construction? Think about it. His work in us never stops, right? If God was to walk up to you, John, and say, you know what, John? Everything about you, your thought life is good, you don't have no battles, then there would be no need for construction to continue. But he tells us that he will finish the work that he has started in us. Because he's growing us, the Bible says, from faith to faith and what? Glory to glory. He's growing us in his character, growing us in his ways, growing us in his wisdom, growing us in his knowledge, growing us in his understanding, growing us in his revelation, growing us in his ways. So when I say consent, does God love you where you're at and glad that you are his child? Yes, he loves you, but he's going to continue growing us. Amen. Sanctifying, that's the perfect word for it. So when we look at this in life, what you and I have got to understand is that being content is in a place right here, the Bible says, a place of life to where no aid or support is needed. This is what content is, that no matter where I am at in life, as long as I've got Jesus Christ, whether I'm down here or whether I'm up here, if I'm in the valley or if I'm on the mountaintop, if I'm poor or if I'm rich, this is what I know right now, that no matter what, that Jesus Christ is going to get me through whatever it is, wherever I'm at, and that's where I find my content. That's where I find it, no matter where I'm at. No matter where you and I are at in life. I got the coronavirus, all right, but I got Jesus. Oh, Lord, why'd you let me have this? Oh, Lord, I got you. They repoed my truck, but they couldn't repo the Holy Ghost. I got you, Jesus. Amen. I got the report at the doctor the other day, Michelle, that I didn't want to get, all right? But that don't change the work of Jesus Christ in your life. And that don't undo everything that Jesus Christ has done to this point. Amen. Because you're still saved. You're still washed. You're still being sanctified. And I believe that God can still heal you. God can give you a new heart. God can touch that. He can open up every artery. God can do the work that he needs to do. And I find my contentment in this, that God can do whatever it is that he wants to do. He can do whatever it is he wants to do. Be content. This is what I'm content in. That no matter what's going on in my life, I'm content in this. That I don't have to compromise God's word nor compromise my character to get anywhere that I need to get in life. Why? Because I'm content in my walk with Christ. That makes sense? I'm content with that. Now, I'm still going to work my tail off. I'm still going to work hard. I'm still going to do the things that I need to do. And I'm going to believe that God's going to bless me and he gives me favor in the sight of God and man, because he's going to build it, whatever it is in my life. That makes sense? I'm not going to sit there and stress over it and do all that stuff. I've been there before. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to serve God. Whether I'm over here, whether I'm over here, whether I'm rich, whether I'm poor, I'm just going to seek God. Whatever I'm doing, I'm going to seek God. I'm going to keep seeking God. I'm going to keep being obedient to God. I'm going to keep trusting God. I'm going to keep telling people about Jesus. We're going to keep having Bible studies. None of that stuff's going to change. Matter of fact, God's made more room to do it. Amen? And I'm content. I'm content getting up and having Bible study for 2 hours every morning. And working about 5 hours a day. I'm content. I'm all right. I could do more. But then that starts taking away from ministry. That starts taking away from some of the other things I get to do. Amen? So, let's look here. Now, godliness with content is great gain. Thank you, Lord. When we learn to be content, it's great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. What shall we be content with? Having food and having clothing. What's a perfect example a while ago? Were the children of Israel content with the food that they had? How are you content? See, when we sit down and look at a plate of food, we say, Lord, thank you for supplying this food, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you bless it and you sanctify it in Jesus' name. We're thankful for what he's given us. But the children of Israel, when they sat down and looked at the manna and the manna that they had, they said, how come I can't have this? How come I work this much and I can't have this? How come my this? How come my that? Instead of being thankful. And you're going to find out that God's going to open so many more doors to the thankful heart than he is the unthankful heart. Do you think that some way by your belly aching, complaining, and murmuring, that that's going to manipulate God into doing some kind of reverse psychology on God? Why me? Why you? What do you mean? My question is, why did he not kill me a long time ago? As much dope as I done, Michelle, I should have been dead a long time ago. And I'm still here today. Thank you, Jesus. All right, I may have a little hitch in my get along now, but I could have been dead. Amen. I may have a little right now, but I could have been dead. All right, you may look at me and say, that preacher's a little bit over the edge. You should have seen me before. I'm thankful. I look at my wife. I'm thankful for my wife. I mean, I was watching videos today and listening to testimonies of me and my wife from 15, 16, 17 years ago. And looking at where he brought it, I'm thankful. I sit here and I look at my kids and my children and my son-in-law. I'm thankful my kids are serving God. My daughter's married to a man that loves God. We got a baby. Got a grandbaby. Got another one on the way. I am so thankful that I'm not worried about where my daughter's going to be tonight. I'm so thankful that I'm not worried about my two daughters or so. I'm so thankful that I'm not worried about those things. And I throw my hands up and I'm looking at it. I'm like, thank you, God. Because my kids could have went any way. The only thing I knew to do was sow the word into them when they was younger. That was the only thing I knew to do. And I did it hard, and they got mad at me, and they didn't like it. But thank God that God honors his word. That's what happens. It's not because I was the best father. It's not because I was the best husband. But it's because I served the best God in the universe, and his name is Jesus Christ. And even if my children wasn't serving God, he is still good. Why? Because the door is still open, and his name is Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen? All right, let me finish. I ain't going to read all this. Let's go to the next one. I'll hurry up and finish up. All right. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Is anybody writing their Bible, man, when they're sitting around just meditating and thinking? I write all in mine. This is what I wrote today. The root of every problem in this world, listen to this. The root of every problem in this world is in our heart. The root of every problem in this world happens because of what's in the heart of man. The problem's in your household because it's in your heart. The problem's in my household because it's in my heart. What did Jesus say? He said, where do wars, where does adultery, where does all this stuff come from? The heart. The issues of life spring up where? Out of the what? The heart. Amen. Lovers, I saw a road and said, the root of every problem in this world is our heart. God tells us to love him and our neighbor. Listen, I wrote this down today as I was sitting there. God tells us to love him and our neighbor. To love him supreme. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your everything you got. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So we're to love God supremely above everything. All right? And then it says, and I wrote down, love him supremely. However, if we put ourselves first, we'll not love God or our neighbor. In this world, there's three things: God, people, and things. We should worship God, love people, and use things. If self is first, we'll ignore God, love things, and use people. I'm going to read that to you again. God told us to love Him supremely and to love our neighbors. However, if we put ourselves first, we'll not love God or our neighbor. And in this world, there's really three things: God, people, and things. The Bible says God's in this room tonight. Why? Because He said, where two or three are gathered together, I shall be in the midst of them. Then there's other people in this room. And there's things in this room: the cameras, the lights, all of that stuff, the chairs, all of those things. Building, cars, parking lots, gravel, rocks, streets, Bibles, books, pages, phones, cameras, chairs, paint, speaker boards, sound system. Those are all things. We should worship God and love people and use things. See, we're here to worship God. We're here to love on each other, and we're to use these things to get the message out. Amen. Amen. Right? But if we put ourselves first, instead of putting God and others first, we'll ignore God. See, that's what lust does. Lust causes you to ignore God and fulfill your desires. Lust causes you to ignore God's desires but fulfill your desires. That's when you put yourself first. And then you use people, because the girl I'm lusting after becomes an object for me to fulfill my lust. You see that? See how that works? So if we put ourselves first, we'll ignore God, love things, and use people. That make sense to everybody? That's what happens when you ignore God. Your lust, your desires become more important to you than His desires. But when you love God first, His desire for you is more important than your desires. When you love God first, you don't use people and use things to get what you want, but you use things to bless people, what God wants. Or even if you don't have things to bless people, you bless people through the Word of God. Amen? Does that make sense? Get my words right here. Let's go to, I'm not going to go on that anymore. Let me go to another one over here, James 4. I was just going through all these today. Where do wars and fights come from? James 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires? Whose desires? Your desires. When you have a fight with your husband or wife, where does it come from? Your desire to want to be right. Your desire to want to prove the other one wrong. Right? Where does it come from? Where do wars come from? From countries that have a desire to be more powerful than another country. Right? Where do fights come from? Where does all these, a desire to have more, a desire to rule over somebody, a desire, your own desire? So he says here in his word, he says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasures that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. I mean, we're sitting here, we say, you know, we're believers, but we got all these fights and all these desires and all this stuff going on. And he says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Girlfriends, boyfriends, etc. When we want more recognition, higher status, more things, we compromise God's word to get it. We should submit to God and ask Him to remove selfishness and trust in Him. So what does that mean to submit to God? When we see these things coming up on the inside of us, instead of looking for a way to submit to that desire and trying to sneak around on how I'm going to fulfill that desire and start compromising. In the same way that we look at that and we start plotting and planning on how to fulfill that desire, we ought to be going to God and saying, God, take this selfishness from me. You see what I'm saying? In the same way that we're trying to take it and figure out a way to fulfill it, we ought to be taking it to God and giving it to him to remove it. Now, what happens if God doesn't remove it? Okay? You know, and so many times, and I believe this is where we screw up in our prayer life. And even if we lay it down, but how many times we laid something down and walked around and followed us out the room? I mean, being real, how many times you lay drugs down, John? 100. How many times they jump right back on you the next day? See what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I understand it. But now check this out. Here's what we got to be praying for. When Paul was praying to God and he said, Lord, he said, remove this thorn from my flesh. What did he say to him? He said, he asked him three times, right? He asked him three times, remove it. Get this thorn out of my flesh. Remove this thorn. What was his response, John? My grace is sufficient. When the disciples were going out in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5, John, and they had been persecuted and all of that stuff, and then they were praying, and the room was shaking when the power of God come upon them, what was their prayer? Their prayer was not to remove the struggles, but to give them the strength. See, listen. God is not going to always remove the things in your life that come against you. Well, you and I, we are in this walk to become stronger and stronger. And here's what we fail to realize is that many things in our life that come against us that are not even sent by God, but God will use that to strengthen us. Does that make sense? Amen. So our prayer is this, Lord, that you strengthen me. Why? Because Johnny said, I'm an overcomer. And if there wasn't something that I needed to overcome, then he would not call me an overcomer. He says, I got the victory. In order for me to have the victory, Mark, there's got to be something battling against me. To have a victory, there's got to be an opposing enemy. I am more than a conqueror. That means there's something out there trying to conquer me, and my job is to fight against it, and the Spirit of God is more than that wanting to conquer me. You see that? So there's desires, there's these things that come against us, there's these things that battle us, that want to conquer me, that want me to give in, John, that want me to give up, but the Word of God says I'm more than that. I'm more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. So in order for me to be more than a conqueror, there's got to be something trying to conquer me. And by the strength of God, I'm more than that. I'm stronger than that. You're an overcomer. He doesn't say, I'm just going to remove everything and make it easy. He said, no, there's going to be some things that you are going to have to overcome. But let this be known to you. You are an overcomer. I've given you the strength. I've given you the power. I will get you through it. I've given you authority to tread upon snakes and scorpions, and by no means can anything that the enemy do harm you. I have given you the strongest name in the heavens. I've given you the name that is above every name. And at this name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. I've given you my word, and I exalt my word even above my name, that every jot and every tittle shall come to pass. And I exalt my word even above what? His name. He has given you everything we need. I was talking to the people in Bible study yesterday morning. How many of you, and I think it's the Battle of Normandy. Anybody in here military people? I'm going to ask John. John's a school teacher principal. Isn't that, I think it's the one where they were coming up and the front of the boats were flipping open in World War II and people were having to run out. I think it was the Battle of Normandy. And I think by reading that the average life expectancy of those people was like 5 seconds. And you watch the videos of these young men, and they're holding their guns, the water splashing over, and the enemy's sitting up there hidden, guns pointed right at them. And they know that as soon as that door opens, they're sitting targets. They're setting targets. That's why they're called the bravest generation ever. Because as soon as that door flew open, they were like, what I got to lose? Whether I'm running or whether I'm sitting, they're going to shoot at me. So if they're going to shoot at me, I'm running toward them. I'm going to take somebody with me. That's the attitude I got, Daniel. If I just sit here, the enemy going to fire shots at me. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run right at him. I'm going to run right at him. I'm going to grab the word of God. I'm going to look at him, and I'm going to look him in the eyeball. I'm going to say, you stinking uncircumcised Philistine, today I'm going to chop your head off, and I'm going to feed it to the fowl of the air. I'm coming, and I'm bringing heaven with me. I just ain't going to sit there and let the enemy just shoot me. I ain't going down without a battle. And here's what I know. I know the only thing I got to do is show up and stand. Because what did he say? He said, you're more than a conqueror. He said, you are an overcomer. Oh, there are going to be some things that come against me. But instead of looking at how big the things that are coming against me are, I'm looking at how big the God in me is. Yeah, you are. You conquered some mighty foes out there, but I'm more than a conqueror. You've overcome a lot of things out there, but you know what? God has called me an overcomer. Amen? That's the way I look at it. I wrote this down. It said, it says nothing wrong. I don't know why I wrote this. I wrote in here, nothing wrong with working hard and being rewarded, but don't compromise God's word to gain. Church, we have got to. I'm going to invite some of you, well, men, ladies, whoever. Our Bible studies in the mornings, they've went to a whole other level the past week or two. Need to be there tomorrow, Barlow. You make it. Our Bible studies, man, I'm telling you, they're a whole other level. Clayton, are they not? I'm telling you. What this is teaching is men how to be warriors that God has called us to be. I'm going to tell you something. There's men right here in this home. I mean, I'm telling you, they're getting some stuff. They're coming into my office, man, and we're going to war right there in my office. In war, it's not pretty. It's not when you go to war. Listen, here's the problem with war. There's always casualties. Always casualties. Some people don't want to go to war. Some people ain't going to do it. Some people rather just die where they're at than fighting with the power of God to get to where God wants them to be. Ain't going to do it. Ain't going to show up. Some people just ain't going to show up. What I talk about, I say some people just ain't going to show up. They're just going to go through a mundane life, but they're not going to show up. And just because they're not willing to show up, they never truly know what God wants to do with them. That makes sense? I'm not just talking about showing up to Bible study. I'm just talking about showing up. I mean, when lust comes into your life, you showing up. You ain't hiding from it. You showing up. Your head's up. Your shoulders are squared. Your chest is out. You put on the breastplate of righteousness. You put on the helmet of salvation. Your feet are shod in the gospel of peace. You hold it all together with the buckle of truth. You got the sword of the Spirit. God didn't call me to go run and hide from it. He called me to address it, battle it, hit it head on. Why? Because he that is in me, why would I need the stronger one in me if there wasn't things in this world coming against me? Well, it's so hard. Good. Well, it's heavy. Good. Why? Because you're getting stronger. It's not supposed to be easy. You want the easy way? Leave. You want the easy way? Go back to the streets. You want the easy way? Go back to the drinking. Go back to the drugs. That's easy. That's easy. It's easy to give up. It's easy to quit. But it's hard. It's hard. That's a hard life out. It's easy to quit. It's not easy to live through it. It's easy to quit. But it's hard. It's hard to fight. It's hard to resist. But you're going to get that victory sooner or later. You're going to get that victory sooner or later, John Dale. You're going to get that victory sooner or later. Your job is not to quit. Your job is to keep fighting. Your job is to keep showing up. Keeping your eyes on God. You're going to get it. And this is the one thing that I want to put in men, John. This is the one thing that I want to put in men. Besides the Spirit of God, I can't do that, but through teaching them. This is the one thing I want to put in men. A spirit to fight. Our men in this society have got so weak. A spirit to fight. A warrior spirit. The Lord said in Exodus 15, 14, I believe it is, that I am the Lord of war. Amen. Let's stand up, church. Hallelujah. Lord God, we bless you. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I got my daughter coming to those Bible studies. I got my daughter coming in. I got the ladies are coming to the Bible studies. I told Bethany this morning, I said, listen, you got to start giving me one day a week coming to Bible studies. Why? Because I know that 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 I know. I'm telling you, something's happening. I know it. Something's happening. I ain't talking about big numbers. I'm talking about in the hearts of men. Something is happening. I'm seeing men reaching down on the inside and grabbing off. I'm seeing men walking into my office. I'm seeing men coming in there with tears in their eyes, not giving up. I see men coming in there white knuckling, and they're saying, Kevin, I'm grabbing a hold of them, saying, no, this is what we're going to do. But this is what we're not going to do. We're not going to continue laying down and being weak. What we're not going to do. Amen. Father, we thank you. I know people out there are going to look at that and say, my Kevin, my strength is in Jesus. This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. We don't have to fight. Jesus already fought for me. Bull. Yeah, he conquered death, hell, and the grave, but we still got some stuff in this world we got to fight. Desires, wants, lust. I read it to you tonight, Psalms 81, Psalm 78, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, James 4. What about this one? How about in the book of John chapter 2? How did the lust get the men there? The Bible says that his house should be a house of prayer, but the lust of men turned it into a den of thieves. You see that? What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? He became an old. See, they overtook the temple, but he went back in and overtook them and threw them out. You see that? See, they overtook the temple, and Jesus walked up in there and said, no, not my house. He made that whip, and he started running them out. He overcome the ones that overtook the temple. You see that? And he did it with a show of force. He did it with a show of force. Father, we thank you and we bless you. Lord God, I bless these men. I bless this church in the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you, Lord, and I speak strength, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. I thank you, Father. Praise to you, Lord God. Praise to you, Lord God, for your strength, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Strength, Father God. Strength in the name of Jesus Christ. the power of the Lord, Father, the strength of God, hallelujah. The Lord, you rise up in him and be strong. Cause him to be more than a conqueror, an overcomer, Father God. In the name of Jesus, strengthen him, Father God. Hallelujah. Bless you, Father. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the men that you're shaping to be the leaders. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, that you're rising up people that nobody expected, Father God. That you're calling them out of the shadows and to the front lines in the name of Jesus. The ones that have been overlooked, the ones that have been stepped over and stepped around, Father God. You're calling them to the front, Father God. You're rising them up to the front, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you're giving them wisdom. You're giving them truth. You're giving them understanding. Hallelujah. 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 Kishaka hasandaraka hasatara. Hallelujah. Kishaka hasandaka hasatara. Ain't no miscarriage there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Lord God, strengthen my brother Barlow. Hallelujah. Strengthen my brother's father. In the name of Jesus, Father God. Hallelujah. We bless you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Every one of them, Father God. Lord, I thank you, Lord. That these men, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're using them, Father. You're using them right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, the ones that have, once again, Lord, the ones that have been in the shadows, the ones that have been in the back, Father, the ones that nobody expects you to use, the ones that are sitting back and people looking at them going, look at it, look at that, look at it. Lord, you're using them, Lord. You're showing yourself strong through them, Lord. Hallelujah. Do it, Jesus. That many come to know the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father God. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask that you heal my sister, Michelle, in the name of Jesus, wherever she's at. Father God, I ask that you heal her body in the name of Jesus. Her heart, whatever it is going on. Whatever it is going on, Lord. Hear what I pray, that whatever it is going on in your life, it does not slow you down. It does not stop you. It does not incapacitate you. None of that, but you be made whole. Your strength be strong in the name of Jesus. You grow not weary, nor do you become dismayed. But your eyes be set upon the Lord like flint. For you know where your help comes from. Hallelujah. And your help comes from the Lord. Now, Lord, touch her. Heal her. Every artery be opened. All the electrical impulses, whatever it is, do what they're supposed to do. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Church, we bless you. We love you. God bless you. See y'all on Sunday. We start Bible study at 8:30 in the morning. Men, women, you are.